I'm Izzy Rock, host of Tales from the Hard Side podcast, and you're listening to the Bad Parenting Podcast. Go rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher.
Warning, the following auditory experience may contain themes of an adult nature. The opinions expressed are those of the podcasters and not of their respective employers, parents, and or legal guardians. Content may not be appropriate for children, small animals, work, and your mom. Enjoy the show. Diabetes.
Fucking pussy babies need to toughen the fuck up.
Of course, double stuffed.
I don't like diabetes.
Oh my fucking god, I shit myself.
Was I supposed to do show prep?
This could be a while.
Cafe smash.
Bad Parenting Podcast, we're all up in your mom.
I always swore I'd never beat my children.
I'm drinking some milk with cheese.
We had government cheese. No, nothing ever gets done in Hollywood.
Oh, awesome.
If only you could see the glare.
Hey, I'm Justin. No, that doesn't work either.
Oh my god, the smell. I hope you're ready for a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Love your children while keeping your sanity. This is the Bad Parenting Podcast.
Yes, welcome to episode 67 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Jody.
And technically, this could be considered 67.2 since the first attempt at fire failed miserably.
And it wasn't my fault.
No, it was not your fault. No one ever said it was your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault, and I caught the problem.
You did.
And without me catching the problem, you would have been like, meh. Yeah. No, and then we would have gotten to the end, and you would have been like, I can't do anything with this show.
So. Yeah. So now you're a little too hot.
Sorry.
I'm going to back your level off a little bit, so let's try the whole week.
No, but I don't like talking about myself. We already established this in the last part. I can't do it. I can't hold the show on my own.
Trust me, I know the feeling. I've tried the same thing, and it's just not possible. I'm going to rotate my mic here a little bit while, behind the scenes. There you go.
Since I caught it earlier.
Yeah, that helped.
That was epic.
An epic failure almost. Okay, so.
I overused the word epic, ironically. Sorry. For people who...
You're saying it was ironically epic?
No, I'm just saying...
Or epically ironic.
People are like, you say epic too much. I'm like, because I'm doing it intentionally to highlight how epically stupid it is.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I get it. Organically. That's the one that gets me.
I use that all the time.
I know, and that's the one.
Non-ironically, like having to use it, but it's the only way that the realtor people understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So I have to use it a lot.
Yeah, I've noticed that if you don't speak
the language, whatever
language,
it is.
It's like don't speak like one step above, you know, tard.
No, it's like the Star Trek episode. I don't remember the exact line because I'm not that geeky.
Yeah,
but.
And I know the line. I'm
but you're blanking, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm blanking. I'm not going to. Yeah. Anyways. Sorry. So, we got a little bit of a false start there because Jody's, we had some mic problems and it caused me to have some, panic attacks and
bad words.
Minor bad words. And, yeah. What is an episode of our show without, issues? And now my microphone cable's all.
We don't have a lot of. Issues usually technical
yeah and issues. I know I'm probably gonna shoot myself in the foot by saying this, but I can happily say that I haven't lost an episode. I have, as far as I recorded it, nothing happened to it. Now we've had kids completely derail us and stop us from recording one episode,
but that's kind of our
and
shtick.
I've had technical issues,
kind of our thing.
But I've never actually lost an entire episode, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we don't ever have that happen, because that would suck balls.
I say yet. Because from what I understand, that's
like a
happen.
Rite of passage. Yeah,
it's
I know. It's a podcast, and you're right. So,
yeah.
So how was your week, babe? I mean, honestly, now you're not just trying to hold the show. You're actually talking with me. So
sounds ridiculous. I don't remember what happened this week. I mean, I legitimately have no memory of the last 5 days. I feel like it didn't happen.
I
don't know if it's the lack of sleep due to the kids being all, snarfly, or if it's due to me being all snarfly.
Or some wicked combination thereof. I think we only had one night this week where it
we have not had a kid in our bed at some point during the night. Maybe not even one night.
I don't think one night.
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks. And we've had let's see here, what all did we do? I remember Temperance's music concert. Oh,
Temperance's music concert.
Where we
can. I kind of remember that.
We cannot. We've known this for quite some time, but we were able to finally confirm it. Our daughter is a gigantic ham.
Yeah.
And I posted the video online, and it's my favorite video of her because she's got the stage lights blaring in her eyes.
So she can't see who's.
So she puts her hands over her eyes like this, and she's looking, and I know this doesn't bode well for an auditory medium, but still. And she's looking around. Then she sees I have the camera out and I'm recording her. And boom, it's instant. Like, she gets posed.
I know, she's all posy. She
like blinks her eyes and
starts and batting her eyelashes. Mm-hmm. And then she does that thing where she tilts her head from side to side. Uh-huh. Like almost like a creepy doll, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And so it was just cute. And this actually brings up a very interesting parenting thing for me. I'm having a hard time with her growing up. Like, the boys, no bigs, right? Like, it's cool. They're getting bigger. They're growing. Everything's awesome. You know, they're learning to do shit on their own and all that jazz. And and I'm proud of all three of the kids. But with Temperance, it's like heartbreaking to watch this happen. It's like, no, I don't want you to get. And I'm actually starting to well up a little right now. So, I don't know, and I don't get it. It's the weirdest fucking thing for me. It's like, okay, you know, with her, I was like, no, you can't stop, stay. I don't want you to. You're perfect right now. Don't move. Don't go any further with this. So it's this weirdest thing for me, and I try not to let the other two see it because I don't want them to. I don't want it to be like a point of jealousy because it's not like I love her more and love them less. It's just for some reason for me, it's harder to watch her mature and get older than it is to watch them. And I don't know. I mean, is it opposite for you? Do you have a harder time watching Trent grow up?
I think I do have a harder time watching Trent grow up. And I think it plays into the same thing because you have an excitement to share the experiences that you had with the same gender. Mm-hmm. As mm-hmm. I have an excitement to do the things with Tempe that I enjoy doing with my mom, which come at a later age. Like, now is great. I don't really have any problems with how she is now in terms of, you know, where she's at. Like, this is fine too. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited for dance recitals and cheer squads and fun nights out on the town. Like, my mom would always take me out and we'd just go do fun things all the time. And, you know, she's just now getting to the point where she can handle a lot of that stuff. So I'm just seeing the beginning of all the cool stuff we're going to be doing. Whereas with Trent, it's like I'm losing the little baby.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to well up because he's like, he's so tiny and cute.
Well, he was so tiny and cute. Well, he's not so tiny. I mean, he's grown a lot in like the last month.
Okay, so lately, and I know this sounds gross, so please don't judge me, but I know how tall he is because of how much he doesn't have to stand on his tiptoes to pee in the toilet.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's true.
His penis to toilet height ratio is getting
high. At one point, we forced him to sit down because there was no way.
Yeah, he couldn't clear over the edge.
Didn't matter the arc. And now all of a sudden, and it used to be then he'd whip it out and he'd just flop it onto the thing.
Yeah, he can't do that anymore.
And now he's actually tall enough where he's not able to.
Know that sounds weird as a measurement tool.
As stupid as it sounds, I totally understand it. So,
but when he goes up to the toilet, he can't even. I mean, he couldn't even lay it on the toilet if he wanted to.
Not unless he was like doing some crouching tiger, hidden dragon shit. And, so,
I mean, that's a good 2 inches in the last couple
from
of months
from the ground.
So, he's grown,
but
physically a lot.
Oh, I remember the video, but it wouldn't have played well, anyways. On it was a video I wanted to show you, one I wanted to play at the starter. So, sorry.
That was a total derail. But Trent is definitely moving along in his development. He doesn't want to do baby things anymore. Except today, did you hear the thing about I want to be a baby again?
No.
Oh, I think it was this morning. It could have been yesterday. I said something about being a big boy. He's like, I don't want to be a big boy anymore. I want to be a baby again. And then like he goes, no, I am a baby again. Oh, I'm your baby mama. Like, he knew exactly what to say to make me just be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that's part of it, too, is, like, Tempe knows exactly what to say to melt me. I mean, and I still can, I can usually withstand it, mm-hmm. but every once in a while. But, like, even tonight, she was sitting there, and I made chicken noodle soup, and she sits down at the table, and she's like, oh, chicken noodle soup! And she jumps down and gives me this giant hug. She's like, thank you, best daddy ever! And she's, like, freaking out. I'm like, I just made some, and, I mean, yes, it's homemade chicken noodle soup, and it was pretty goddamn good. But, it was, and it was just like, oh, and, you know, I don't... Yeah, see, I'm going to start again. I don't want to lose that. And that's one thing I'm really trying hard to do with her is I don't want to lose that that snuggly, mm-hmm. always loves daddy, you know. And because you can fuck that up as a dad. You can become too overbearing or you can become too whatever. And you can push them away and give them the daddy issues. And I definitely don't want her to have any of that as far as, you know. And I know that no matter what, we're going to experience it to some extent with all the kids. But... It's different for me with her than it is with the boys. And not that it's not hard to watch the boys grow up either. I mean, it was nerve-wracking last year when we took Ezra to summer camp, and I cried when that happened, and we had to let him go. But because he was, you know, it was a significant step for him to spend a week alone. No parents on either side. Not his mom, not I. So, yeah, that was interesting, and... I'm not gonna go super deep into this, but on his mom's side, Ezra's great grandmother passed away just over a month ago, and they saved the memorial service and all that, and actually putting her in the ground. She was cremated, but actually, you know, burying the urn and whatnot for her birthday, and so they got everybody together. So we went up to the cemetery yesterday, and they had the service, and then we had the after get together, and that was
awkward.
No, it really wasn't. Oh. That was the cool thing about it is that for all, and I'm going to say this with the absolute 100% honesty, for all of my exes' completely accidental attempts to make it awkward in the respect of, like, she just wasn't thinking, my ex-mother-in-law and her husband were really good about, you know, making it not awkward for me. Like, at one point, they wanted to get a big picture of everybody together, and my ex was like, hey, can you take the picture? I'm like, sure, no problem. Right. And her, you know, her stepdad, if you want to call him that, he's like, huh? No. See, we have her. And this is the lady from the funeral home. He's like, she'll take the picture. Your family, you get in there. Like, you know, he's like, whether or not you guys are still together, you're still, you know, Gigi had love for you. You had love for her. It's your son. He's like, no. You're in the picture. And it wasn't I can tell that, say this, one of the few times I can say this with her, there was actually no malice or anything mm-hmm. ill will towards me. She just was not. She was thinking immediate family, yeah. And I'm like, and I was totally down. I would have taken the picture, but you know, looking at that picture was kind of awkward to see Pete. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm in a family photo with a family that I'm not really family with, but I am family. I'm like, my head. This hurts. I've entered some sort of weird thing, but I also do appreciate the fact that for all the bullshit between her and I, that we can set those differences and stuff aside when it comes to him. Mm-hmm. And be there for him in times like that, which you can't say that about a lot of split.
Yeah, my parents struggled with that forever, and I think my dad regrets it now, but he missed a lot of things because he simply didn't want to be in the room with my mom.
Yeah.
Which, to me, looking back on it, is like, you dick. Yeah. Like... you know,
yeah, and I think if he let his own personal pride get in the way.
And I think if he realized what that impact would have been on me, he wouldn't have made those choices.
Yeah.
But it's just not how he was thinking. And I think it's important for everybody to understand that if you view it from the child's perspective.
Well, I also think that's where I kind of got an interesting perspective, too, from being with my ex, because she had kids from a previous relationship, and I saw all the shit that he was doing a lot of that. Mm. I can't be in the same room with her. We're not going to do this together. Everything's going to be split. Even to the point of, like, school functions, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. And I saw what that did. You know, not that I'm not that type of person anyways in the first place, but I saw what that did to those kids. Mm-hmm. And I always, when it came time that we ended up splitting up, I always made a vow to myself that I can handle 3 hours. It might drive me up the wall. I might need to, like, you know, a stiff drink afterwards, but I can handle whatever the time length is as long as it makes him happy and mm-hmm. he's okay.
And for all the foibles of her personality. She's not hard to hang around with.
No, and she and really, I mean, honestly, her biggest problem, and I don't want to get too...
Well, I know.
She's never really does anything out of malice. Mm-hmm. It's usually just out of not thinking about what's going on. And that's I'm just going to cut it there. Mm-hmm. So this is not my therapy hour for why I left my ex or why she left me or anything else. That would be a completely different podcast entirely. But it is kind of funny that the timing of it and all that of the recital this week with Temperance kind of kicked in, because I've been tossing around this article we're going to dive into here in a little bit for quite some time. And it all relates back, and now we're talking about this with your dad and all that, and it relates back to the daddy-daughter thing and the relationships and I guess like the do's and the don'ts, you know, mm-hmm. of being a father with a daughter or a father to a daughter or that kind of a thing. So, do we want to just go ahead and dive into this, or do you have anything else you want to talk about first, or?
I can't think of anything.
All right, where is my mouse? There it is. So, I'm going to put, oh shit, I hit a button and a thingy. Well, that made a nice little, oh, that's going to be fun to edit out.
Oh, did it again.
Don't touch the cable. So, the article is going to go into the show notes, so it'll be there for people to look at if they want to read it and see what we're talking about here. But the heading is, 25 Things Dads Are Hardly Told to Do for Their Daughters, But Should. And
I thought that was a weird title, too. It was. Okay.
But, well, yes and no. I mean, I think and if you look at our society, there's a lot of... I mean, yeah. Well, let's just get into it, and we can kind of let it all kind of... Not hang out. That sounds gross, but and this is written from a daughter's perspective too. It's written by a girl who's a daughter, and it starts off, and she goes into the fact that she's I'm not a father, and I never will be, but I am a daughter, and I have two dads, one biological, the other by marriage. And yada yada yada. All her short 23 years, and there's some other stuff she types there. But the first bullet point she goes with is know that from day one, she'll always be your little girl, but you have to put in the effort to keep it that way. Right. So, and I think that's kind of going into like what you were saying, about just being there and being present. And like what they talk about is don't assume or influence what her interests will be because she's a girl. Don't just point out flowers and dolls, show her cars and Legos too. Let her help you around the house with your work. She'll grow up to be a woman who feels confident in stepping up in the workplace no matter the job. Talk to her mama like an equal, not an inferior, and she'll someday expect the same. Show her your sensitive side. She'll see that if he's... I'm sorry. She'll see that if she's sensitive, too, it doesn't make her weak. Have inside jokes or games just between the two of you. Trust me, she'll remember them forever. And, yeah, I mean, The toys one is a huge one for me, or the influence, or the things that she likes is a huge, you know, because we do tend to kneecap as a society our little girls and our little boys, and we've talked about this before, you know, the whole gender thing.
We have grown-ass men who can't cook anything but macaroni and cheese.
If that.
And we've got grown-ass women who can go in to have their oil changed and walk out with a $300 bill to read their code on their car because they just don't know that they'll do it for free at AutoZone. Like, there's just a lack of basic skills that... Because of the gender stereotyping that girls shouldn't work on cars, that boys shouldn't be in the kitchen.
Yep.
And what's so funny is we've got so many, for a society that reveres celebrities the way that we do, we've got so many things fighting those stereotypes that I don't understand how we keep backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd
to me. Religion. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that.
No. but. And I do make it a point to do this with her. We're gonna be changing the oil here.
She's excited to do this.
It was originally gonna be this weekend, but it's not working out. So it's probably gonna be next weekend when we do it. But we're gonna pull up under the cars, and I'm gonna do the same thing I did with Ezra. And we're gonna start her off. She's gonna be more or less a tool helper at this point. Just because I know if the hot oil hits her hand, it's gonna freak her out that first time, just like it did him. Only she probably won't scream as loudly and highly as he did. But I'm doing the same. I'm doing it with all my kids. I'm going to force them to work on cars with me. When I'm doing any type of repair work on anything, I make them sit there with us. Also, something that the inside jokes or games, we've got that going on too.
Yeah.
In fact, you experienced some of that today in the car. Yesterday, that Miley Cyrus song, Wrecking Ball, came on. And I will admittedly say I know way more words on that song than I probably should. But Tempe just loves to belt out the wrecking ball part.
Yeah.
And Ezra was immediately visibly annoyed that it came on. So I used that to my advantage. And she and I just started doing like a karaoke version of it in the car. And I was like acting it out for, and oh my God, he was just like, duh, oh, he's getting all red faced and embarrassed. And she's in the background just, just giggling and whatnot. And then she belted it out. And so then I, because it was annoying him so much, we repeated it like three times in a row.
Is that why he freaked out today?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know, and we do have those little, you know, here and there. And there's, what was the other stuff? There's other things that we've done, you know, that just kind of hurt between her and I. That
the going back and forth on the...
Oh, yeah, the name calling. Yeah, calling, you know, she's good at that, too.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, she takes it to a gross place. Like,
I love it.
Like, well, she takes it to a slightly inappropriate place on accident occasionally, and it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that. But...
Yeah. So, those are the first six blocks, and then they've, because there's major bullet points and minor bullet points, and it starts off at number seven here. Encourage her to do the things that scare her because you'll always have her back. Make her promises and then keep them. The only heartbreak in her life should come from others who don't know how special she is. Show her the skills that you know well. Ask her to show you the skills that she knows well and you don't. Attempt to understand her interest, even when you don't. You'll teach her that no matter what her talents are, ballet, art, or wrestling with the boys, they matter. This is especially true if her interests are more girly. Teach her that her interests are just as important no matter what they are. You got any comments so far?
No.
Okay. If you wouldn't say it to a son, don't say it to your daughter. When she comes to you with a problem, don't brush her off or tell her to go to her mother. Listen, she'll come back. That one's an important one in my mind. I mean,
yeah.
You want your kids to be able to talk to you, and if you gross out and go, yeah, that's a girl problem, and I mean, granted, there's going to be certain times where we have to default, and you know, I don't belch blood from my vagina once a month, so I have no idea what that's about. So there's certain things I can't, you know.
But there's a way to act.
Yeah.
That she doesn't feel so. It's not like a, oh, gross, go talk to your mom.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A, oh, that's a normal thing, but I don't know much about it. Let's mm-hmm. go talk to your mom. Let's go
talk to an expert. Yeah. Don't talk about her changing body or interest in sexuality with disgust. You'll only teach her that she should be ashamed of it.
Well, I think I just said that, yeah.
Yeah. Talk about strong women.
You skipped one.
Oh, sorry.
Don't talk about other women's bodies in an objectifying or demeaning way. She's listening and then examining her own. And this is something that you have a tendency to do sometimes mm-hmm. that I get on you about
yep.
often.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times where I'll make jokes about, I'll crack jokes about, and I don't just do it about women though. I do it about all people in general.
You do it about all people, but specifically target women more often.
I'm not going to try to deny it. I mean, it happens, and it's something I am actively working on. Not, you know, so no one's perfect.
I know. I'm just bringing it up because people do it without thinking about it.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, think about it.
Yep. I agree.
And I have to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
As a female, sometimes you judge yourself in front of your daughter, and you can't do that, or your son for that matter. You have to be very careful about what you're saying about your body, verbally and non-verbally, because what are you I was looking through pictures with her the mm-hmm. other day for Mother's Day. I wanted to post a picture of me and my mom, and I was looking through old pictures, and I saw a picture that looked like her, she looks like me in that. When that picture was taken, mm-hmm. we look a lot alike. And I realized that I was probably like 7 or 8 years old when that was taken, maybe mm-hmm. a little younger. But I remember feeling fat from day one. Like, I've always felt like I was the chunky kid.
Mm-hmm. And even in your younger period, you weren't.
And even up until high school, I really wasn't, which is what's weird to me looking back is going, think I was heavy? Why did I think I was fat? I mean, to the extent that in high school, I was so ashamed of how heavy I was that I wouldn't sit on my boyfriend's lap in a car. I made him sit on my lap. Mm-hmm. Seriously. It's probably why we broke up.
You emasculated him in front of everybody. which is another weird little, you know, sidetrack there. But
regardless, the point being, where did I pick that up? And I'm positive I picked it up from my mom.
Yeah.
But when, where, why, how. I don't, she never said that. She not once would she have ever done
it
that.
It had to been more it by example. It had to have example. Been
subconsciously. Yep. It had to have been by example. So I've.
Then again, on the flip side, though, you're
my great grandma, excuse me, my grandma was a raging.
She still is. Still drops off diet pills and crap whenever she gets a chance. So
yeah, but that being that aside, because I really didn't value her opinion to that. I don't think that I was around her enough that early on to have formed that just from her.
Yeah.
I think it had to do with how my mom viewed herself growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be a little more careful. Excuse me, now I have the hiccups.
Talk about strong women in front of her, not just strong men, and she'll aspire to be them someday and will know she has a chance. And that one, I mean, I mean, it's important to have strong role models from both ends. But also, one thing, I kind of have a catch-22 with that, because I'm always of the opinion that the first strong role models that any child should have are their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not that every child gets that benefit, of course, right. But when something happens with a football player or some athlete and they freak out, you're role models for all these children, it's like, well, if your kids idolize these people that much, you might want to do some internal checking and look at what you're doing. It's cool for your kids to respect and like these things, but to you know,
raise them higher than anyone else.
Yeah, yeah. Get them like a godlike complex with how much influence they're giving them. That's a completely separate problem. But it's very important, I think, that there are examples of strong women or successful women that they can look at as an example of, you know, it's okay to be that in society and not let, you know, the norm that we have in certain areas take you down.
Mm-hmm.
This next one's really important to me. It always has been, even though it was a point of contention in my previous relationship, is work stuff out with her mother in front of her. She'll see that women deserve a voice in relationships and will look for someone who will appreciate hers. And you and I do that quite a bit. There's certain things, like if the subject matter does not need to be in front due to their age or whatever, we are very good about that. But if we have,
if we were having a fight about how much I watch porn, we might save that for later.
Yeah, or if I think you need to do a little sucky more often, then you know that would be something we would table and not talk about in front of the kids. But
when we have disagreements, we tend to try to air them respectfully.
And we just let it, you know, in front of the kids. Right. We don't, because that conflict management, conflict resolution is very important, and it's something that my parents did with me that I wholly appreciate, because it allows you to see that everybody, because for me, like I idolize my parents quite a bit. I held both my parents onto a very high pedestal, and to see them be human is actually a good thing, because it allows you to understand that no matter who you idolize or what you do or how important that person is to you, they're going to let you down at some point. Everybody does. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody fucks up. But also, if you can see that change and that correction, and then all of a sudden see it come back together and see them work through it, that's even more important. It's something that I tried to do with my ex, but through a whole myriad of reasons why it would never went that way, or it would went, and then if I try to do it in front of the kids or just talk something out with her, she'd get even angrier, and then it would start to get just really. Bad. I mean, like she would start like sniping, right? And then I'd get pissed off and snipe, and that's where it devolved into not good, which you don't want to have happen in front of the children. So I kind of fear for his three siblings over there at times. How is their, especially with their father? Do they know what conflict resolution is? Because he's a derogatory, just an asshole. But I've noticed with our kids that a lot of times, especially the temperance, she'll step in and she's always trying to be the peacemaker. She'll try to, it doesn't always work because her brothers are pig-headed assholes a lot of the time, but she'll try to step in and find a resolution, and she'll try to connect, you know, let's do this, let's try that. And I've watched her do it with other kids too. But then every once in a while, the bitch switch flips and she's just like, fuck you, I'm out. But I think it's important that children learn, as long as it's not abusive, if I'm thumping on you, which I wouldn't, but I mean, or any of that kind of crap, definitely not in front of the children. But to be able to see that, A, well, mommy made a mistake, but now she's trying to make it better, blah, 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 blah. B, daddy's upset with mommy because of that mistake, and but they're still trying.
Oh, I made the mistake, huh?
No, I said daddy and mommy. I didn't say you and me. I'm not using us per se in this example. I could.
I think that it's really, really important that a young girl sees that a woman can bring something up to her significant mm-hmm. other respectfully and come to come to an understanding, yep. and vice versa, that she can accept when somebody's upset with her.
Well, but also what I think is very important for that vice versa is that, like, especially in this where we live now with some of the old school, mm-hmm. A woman's place is to be seen, not heard, kind of thing. And if I've seen plenty of guys just, you know, snipe at their wives or girlfriends or whoever they are, like in the supermarket and whatnot, and that's not a behavior that I want her to bow. Like I don't want Temperance to bow down and accept that behavior and accept the belittling and derogatoriness and mm-hmm. that kind of crap to be an like. In order for him to love me, I've got to let him be abusive to me in these ways. I don't want that for her. So it's very important that, like you said, not only that she can boost herself up and stand up for what she wants or what is upsetting her, but also to understand that when it's coming back at her, it also needs to be in a respectful mm-hmm. return format. And if it's not in that respectful return format, then there's something wrong there. And perhaps it's time to either seek therapy and try to fix it, or if that person's not worth it, get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I mean, no point in hanging out there if it's not worth the time and effort. This next one I have a problem with.
Because you do it all the time?
Yeah, there's that, but...
I'm going to read this.
Go ahead.
Don't joke about having a shotgun when boys come over. You'll only teach her that you don't trust her judgment.
No, and first and foremost, we haven't had any male suitors over the house yet.
Well, yes, she's five.
She's five.
But you've said that joke before.
I have said the joke before. For me... And this opened my eyes reading this, and I'm going to adapt a little bit and tweak a few things, but it's hard. It's not for me. It's not about her judgment. And that's something I want to actually have an open and honest, when she's old enough to have the open and honest discussion, I want to have an open and honest discussion with her about is that, hey, look, I'm afraid or I'm nervous or I'm worried or whatever. Here are the reasons why. And I'm going to make sure she understands that all my reasoning has very little to do with, unless she grows up to be just a completely inept person, which I don't think she's going to, that all my reasoning has nothing to do with her judgment and everything to do with the hormones surging through the boy, you know?
And I speak from experience on this one, and I'm gonna say there is no threat that of you having a shot.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
That won't be completely nullified by her wanting mm-hmm. that boy.
Oh, I agree.
And if you've done well, like what my dad did and taught the correct principles, mm-hmm. i.e. men are in general and at that age in particular, pigs.
Yeah.
And you need to know that every man is trying to sleep with you in general. And I think we're doing a pretty good job about making sure she's aware and conscious of what her choices are in a matter. Mm-hmm. And while, yes, there are horrible people out there who take advantage, I think the more important thing is to raise a girl that doesn't get taken advantage of, mm-hmm. who doesn't present a victimhood in the first place, who's knowledgeable and secure. And I don't think you have to worry about what type of guy she's dating in that regard, whether or not they're a complete idiot. Because A, her judgment will be good. B, if her judgment gets sidetracked by her hormones, she's, you know, got a good head on her shoulders. And mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I was ever taken advantage of unfairly growing up, ever, because I knew what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, and that's kind of my point with all of it.
If anything, I took advantage of some boys.
Yeah. Well, and that's also the lesson that I'll be teaching the boys quite a bit too, is that if you happen upon a girl who understands what that thing between her legs does for you, or in some cases...
Did I tell you about that time I had 3 months of my rent paid?
Yes. Yep. but you know, so it goes both ways. But for me, it's always been, it's not... the way that I heard it, that was framed perfectly for me, and it makes it, it clarifies the entire thought pattern on it for me, is that when you raise a boy, you only have to worry about one penis. And there is so much truth to that, because raising a boy, you especially as a man, you know what those teenage years are going to bring. You know what those hormones are going to bring. You know that, like, go watch that Baby Has Boobs episode of South Park. It's the perfect example of what happens to little boys or little, you know, teenage boys when these kinds of things happen. All common sense can go right out the window when it comes to getting a sweet of that, you know, a taste of that sweet, sweet pussy, right? So that's more like where I come from when I'm like, and it's not about like I'm going to have a shotgun, but it's just like, you know, I'm here. I'll be more than happy to protect you, you know.
I think that is where you should be. Like, if you need backup, I'm here.
Yeah.
If you are out at a party and you something happens and, you know,
you call me, I'll come down there and start blazing the story and kicking some ass.
You know, if you're not sure about a guy and you want me to check, you know, basically more less I've got a shotgun and more I've got your back.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to talking to the boy, I'll still be going more or less Bad Boys 2 style on him, you know.
I don't mind going back to prison.
Yeah. You ever made love to a man? You want to? but yeah, so that's why I had a, it was a very overarching statement of like what she sees, the lady who wrote this article sees that being about. And coming from a dad's perspective, it's a very little at this point in time in my life, it's very little about not trusting her judgment, and it's solely about understanding what things I allowed to come out of my mouth so that I could try to get laid versus the person that I'm actually am.
Well, and I think that number 21 sums up what I'm trying to say, is if you lead by example, you won't need to scare the boys away. She'll want that's better. If and I speak from experience on this one, you will end up with a person very much like your dad if you love your dad. And I've married someone very much like my father, for good or for bad. And if you want Tempe to be with someone that's a good person, then you have to be the good person you want to see them with. Yeah. You know, for better or worse, what are the things that you have to analyze. If my daughter were dating somebody like me, would I be okay with that? You know, so.
Yep. And we skipped over 20 there for a second.
Oh, that's a weird one, though.
It is, yeah.
We can just skip that one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not untrue. It's just
I'll read it, but I don't think we're going to dive into it too much. Stand up for injustice and the oppressed. Believe the oppressed when they say they're oppressed. You'll show her compassion, and there's nothing unmanly or inferior about doing what is right. And that part,
I think that's true for any kid.
I think really what needs to be happening is we need to, in my opinion, drop off the injustice and oppressed stuff off the front, and just go into show her compassion, and there's nothing wrong, unmanly or inferior about doing what is right.
Right.
And that for me goes into also emotions, showing your emotions. Don't be afraid to cry in front of your kids. Don't be afraid as a man to show them that even as a man, these things do affect you and that it does take place, and you know, and explain to them why the stuff that happens, and just you know, there's no reason why any of that whole manly stereotype of men don't cry and this and that. No, let that stuff, you know, it's like at the funeral service yesterday, the youngest of those three over there has a really hard time showing emotion. Mm-hmm. And so he kept trying to stop the tears and stop the crying and whatnot. And I finally walked over to him and I put my arm around him. I said, "Hey buddy, come here." And I pulled him in and I said, "I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with you wanting to or needing to cry right now. Let it out." I said, "In fact, you'll feel 100% better if you just, you're grieving. You miss her. You loved her a lot. Just let, you know, let it go." And he sobbed for a good, you know, 20, 30 seconds, just that whole weepy thing. And then afterwards, you could see it, like, you could watch it all just kind of lift off of him. And he gets a lot of that from external influences that, you know, men are men and blah, 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 blah. And he has a really difficult time struggling and showing that emotion. I was like, you know, it's okay. And luckily a couple other people picked up on it too. And they came over and told him the same thing, which really helped kind of lighten it up for him. Mm-hmm. But that's a very important thing, is that you can't, yeah, it comes back to those stereotypes again, is that, you know, yes, men are men and women are women, but it's okay for both of us to have emotions. You know?
Right.
I mean, it happens. We had that little altercation after I got back from the last trip out of town, and I, you know, broke down and cried in front of the kids over something about it, and we explained it to them, and everything was fine, and no bigs. We moved on, right? Mm-hmm. So, let's see here. If there is a bad boy in the bunch, make sure you're there if her heart should break. Chances are it will. Make yourself available for her to turn to and not back to him. And that one is important.
Yeah.
Extremely important. If somebody does upset your kid or break their heart or hurt them, and you look at them and go, well, I told you so. Mm-hmm. That's not comforting. That's not what they want to see. They're inevitably going to probably go back out where they were before and do the same things over again and make those same mistakes. Do you have any additional things you want to add about that? Or
you have to be pretty in tune, because chances are they're not going to tell you. At the age where it's really important that you be there for them, they're not going to tell you that the boyfriend... My experience was the guy I wanted to be my boyfriend that I don't know how much I want to say.
Here's your chance to be truthful. We'll get it off your chest, Jody.
Let's just say I wasn't taken advantage of. But then he told everybody.
Yeah.
And not in a way of, ooh, I finally got with that girl that I really like, but like...
She's so easy she gave it up. Yeah.
And I was... utterly heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, just devastated. Because
for you, it was like, I've scored with this person I've been wanting to...
And it really, honestly, I was under no delusion that, like, we were going to fall in love and get married or anything, but I thought we might make, like, a three-week relationship out of it. I mean, it was something. High school, right? Like, who cares? But I didn't understand to what level it didn't matter to him.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter a lot to me. It wasn't like... I because of my dad and my upbringing, I was under no delusion, but it still had an effect. And the fact that he told everyone and my, you know, quote unquote reputation had been damaged.
The Scarlet Letter.
Right. Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. Anyway. And I didn't tell. It's not like I went up to dad. My dad was like, yeah, I slept with this guy. When you remember that time when I said I was over at so-and-so's house? I was actually at his house, and now the whole school knows. I didn't say any of that. I just got all mopey, and, you know, things might have been different if people had been paying attention.
Yeah. Well, and even so, paying attention or not, a lot of times, like, your kids won't tell you what's going on. And the one thing I want for all my children is I want them to understand that...
Ezra hates it.
Yeah.
Because I bug him. He'll get like a weird demeanor to him. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, nothing. I'm like, what's wrong? I'm going to beat it. I'm going to wear you down, son. And I do. I usually do. Yeah. Every now and then it turns out he's just tired. But most of the time something really is bothering him.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day.
It comes out. Yeah. And that's the thing is that I want the kids to, and Ezra does have a problem with that, but I do want them to be able to come and tell us when something's wrong or something's bothering them, to be feel like they can talk to us about anything. We might be a little disappointed or something like that, you know, that kind of stuff, but it's better to be that than to have them possibly dealing with something that A, they're not equipped to deal with, or B, your standard adult would ask for help with, let alone a child, you know, so that there's just to avoid the therapy down the road. This next one's a very important one for me. Tell her that the only person in charge of her, of what happens to her body, is her. And as a society, we do a really good, we try really hard to legislate and to dictate what a woman can and cannot do with her body. And that is...
From day one, I swear. Yeah,
and it's absolutely infuriating and frustrating and... all of the above.
And I mean, it really affects me how tolerable it is in everyday society.
Yeah.
Until you take it to an extreme.
Yeah.
You know, until somebody goes, wait, why can't she wear that? Why can't she do that? Why can't, you know, until somebody takes it to an extreme, you just let it go because that's the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, why has it always been that way? And recently, I don't know, I would say that up until recently, I always thought that the whole feminism thing was a bit over the top.
Well, and for me, here's, and this is actually for our listeners out there, if you want to check him out, I'm still making my judgments about it in the first place, but a new podcast has popped up onto the scene called, I don't want to butcher their name because I'm actually trying to...
Feminist Moms.
No, it's like Two Feminist Moms or something. I just want to make sure that if I tell people to go look for something, that I actually tell them to look for the right stuff so they're not like... Yeah, Two Feminist Moms. And they're based... They're two girls from Salt Lake, and just the little bit that I've listened to so far, I really like what they're saying, what the topics and what they're talking about. And one of the things they're really trying to hit hard with is that the stereotypical long-held view of what a feminist is...
Mm-hmm.
is usually viewed as the feminazi, the hardcore, right. Like, you know, damn near goose-stepping, just burn the bras, fuck men, that kind
militant.
Of... Militant. Yeah, militant feminist. And that's not the case. You know, in their opinion, like, being a feminist means, you know, the female opinion counts. The female mm-hmm. opinion matters. Being mm-hmm. able, you know, supporting the fact that it's a women's right to choose what to do with their body, whether or not you agree with it, whether or not you think it's... appropriate. I had this conversation with Evan from No Hope from Humanity when I went up to his place. We were just chatting, kind of, you know, getting to know each other and whatnot. And I was explaining to him that, you know, a perfect example of how I am or how I view the world is I have a personal objection and a personal problem with abortion. I think it's wrong for what it's normally used for in today's society. As a method of birth control, not a, you know, and there's a whole other dichotomy there. But I also strongly hold to the opinion that it's not my place to tell the other person, you can't do that. I may view it as not correct. I'm not going to think less of the person for doing it. It's just I personally don't agree with that. For, you know, there's a very narrow scope of reasons why right. I think an abortion is an acceptable practice, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm not going to say, well, you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
or B, well, you've done that, you're a fucking disgusting person, because there's plenty of disgusting things that I've done in my life, you know, over the course of the years. I have no room to judge in kind of that respect. And that's, you know, that holds true with, you know, especially now that I've got a little girl. Fuck no, you're not going to tell her what she can and can't do with her body. Right. She wants to pierce her nipples? Okay, fine. Pierce your nipples. Whatever. I don't care. She's going to get a piercing. Okay, if you're 18, you want to pay for it yourself? Totally cool. You know, whatever. Do what you want. You know, it is what it is. But also understand that...
I'm still stuck on some of the dress code stuff. There's yeah. been even more stuff this last week with the dress code
what
stuff.
Now? Enlighten me. I haven't heard anything. So.
A girl wearing a dress to school, a teenage girl wearing a dress to mm-hmm. school that... was quote-unquote too revealing because it showed her back.
At her school?
Yeah, or her own school.
At Tempe school?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
No. And she got sent home.
Yeah.
And I don't remember all the details. I'm a little tired, but basically she wrote a letter. It's all over Facebook. She wrote a letter that was basically like, why does me wearing my shoulders have any impact? They said in the thing that they sent home that it was sexually distracting.
Yeah.
She's like, if these people are sexually distracted by my shoulders, they've got a lot bigger problems.
That's
like,
very true.
And
now, see, and I'm going to play devil's advocate very briefly here for just one second. I get the reasoning behind it based upon today's views in society and whatnot. But I don't agree with them. I think that's more... I think it's more of a thing, not because, like, the staff or anything like that is finding it sexually distracting. It's because the teenage boys.
I know, but that's what she's talking about, yeah. the students. And she's saying we need to hold men and young boys accountable for their own thoughts and not blame the women for inciting them.
Totally agree. But at the same time, the problem with that is from the school's perspective...
What's the quickest way to fix it?
Exactly.
I know.
And that therein lies the problem is that, you know, it's always the quickest and easiest fix that you come up with that causes these kinds of things to happen, because there's no way you're going to get a group of parents to all agree that it's the problem of their sons that are causing these issues and not the other way around. So, yeah, and for me, I'm... you know, I've got much more selfish reasons for being against the dress code. I like to be comfortable, and if comfortable for me means jeans and a raggedy t-shirt, then fuck you. I should be able to wear jeans and a raggedy t-shirt. But that's another, you know, completely different sidestepping of the topic. Girls are picked on quite a bit more than boys, especially when it comes to dress codes and dress rules and all that jazz. And it allows for that discrimination and that body image issues to completely get locked into place real hard in that arena. And the weirdest thing is we had, like, I remember in Park Rose, we had those same kinds of dress codes, mm-hmm. but then there were, Aladdin was really a big one of the years we were in mm-hmm. I think it was Aladdin was like, what, 95, 94? Would have been my freshman year, I think. So a girl came out dressed as Jasmine from Aladdin, only the pants that she was wearing were see-through. So like they were there, but it was a bikini bottom, mm-hmm. and it was the Jasmine top, and the pants were sheer. So you mm-hmm. could see right through. I mean, there was not much left. I mean, it was like, and I remember, I think I tried to take an extra class that day just so I could be like, hey. Once again, yeah. we need to correct a boy's behavior. Somehow she got away with that. But, you know, like you said, spaghetti straps or, you know, barebacks or too much of a bareback, etc. The big one for me, yeah, and I know you'll fully understand this and appreciate this, well-endowed women. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find any type of shirt that's not some sort of a cleavage shirt if it's not a fucking turtleneck.
Yeah.
And that becomes a point. We had a girl, and we... this is going to, once again, point back to the boys. We called her Crumb Catcher. And this chick had a rack on her from like for days. And we called her that because it was actually... Because we were in class one day and she's eating chocolate chip cookies and all the crumbs.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And she got all... We were good friends with her, so she understood it. She understood why we called her that. People got a little pissed off when we mentioned her by that nickname. But she had the same thing. It's like, you know, she like wore sweaters quite a bit. I'm like, why? It's like 90 fucking degrees outside. Why are you wearing a sweater? She's like, well, technically, I can't show any of this. And unless I'm wearing a fucking turtleneck, there's not a shirt big enough to contain these. I'm like, well, I wouldn't mind if you... She's like, she, you know, once again, stupid boy. But that was a huge issue. It was like, you know, she shouldn't be showing any cleavage whatsoever. Not even like the crack. Not even like any of that crap. So it's her problem. Now you got to sweat it out in 90 plus degree heat in a turtleneck sweater and long sleeve, you know, because we're not going to make our boys accountable for their thoughts and actions. And that's just ridiculous. It's stupid.
Back to number 24.
Yes. Compliment her and her mother often. Boy, I try to do this a lot.
You compliment her all the time.
I do try to remember to compliment you more than I am not always the greatest at it. I, you know, I understand and I admit that. But I do try. But I
that doesn't mean her cooking.
No. There are just some things I want to compliment you on I can't do in front of the kids, okay? No. No, I get it. Point taken. But I do feel that I...
You compliment her a lot.
Yeah. And I
think she really is very confident in that she is beautiful.
Yes. And yeah. And then it's here. Tell her you love her. Tell her about the game. Let her know that no matter what, you'll always be there. I'm guessing when they're saying tell her about the game, like, you know, the whole boys are sports, girls are not kind of thing. But I tell all the kids I love them all the time. Mm-hmm. Even you, to the point of being annoyed at times. I always, before bed, we always say I love you and all that jazz. Annoy me. And you know, it's very important that they understand that
if I'm acting annoyed when you say I love you, it's because I'm pissed at you for something. It might be mild irritation, but trust me, if there's a hint of
I've tried to grope you or something's gone on. So yeah.
Or the occasional time when I've already fallen asleep and then you decide to say I love you and make me lean over to give you a goodnight kiss. Then you might get some grumbling.
Fine, be that way. Oh, that was the last one.
Yeah, that's only 25.
Oh, I miscounted. Okay. So, yeah, that's the gist of it. I mean, it really, I think, as stupid as it sounds, this entire article is about, hey, guys, let's wake up. Let us empower our daughters. Let's let them understand that they are respect-worthy individuals that are part of the society that can contribute, yada, 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 yada. We need to be more uplifting to our females in society versus what we've been, not even in the past, just up to, you know, period. So, a little more of a downer episode in certain respects than I was expecting. It wasn't the normal, like, only in farts and boners criticism. And jokes.
Sorry.
I know you kept picking on me, goddammit.
Sorry. Next week you can do one about moms and sons if you want. Pick at me all you want.
Nah, it's fine. Little something funny that happened this week at work. So you'll get a kick out of this because you totally understand how I operate. We have the new receptionist up front. She's actually been hired on. She's been transferred from being a temporary to being actually permanent hire. And she's taken over the certain responsibilities that were assigned to a previous person in the organization. But she feels bad because she's currently what she determines as being behind on her work, and she's been so busy with other stuff and all the stuff that's been going on and the training and learning all these new processes and procedures that this one certain area she hasn't been able to catch up on. The difference is that the previous file of this particular area used to be two what are those packets of paper called? Two
reams
of paper, like thick, right? Mm-hmm. And we're down to like maybe 15, 20 pages of problems, right? And we're talking about these problems are usually 2 to 5 pages each because they deal with invoices and orders, and there's multiple triplicate copies of everything. So she's maybe 10 to 15 actual issues behind everything else. And so we were up there, and I was talking with another coworker about something, and she was talking about, and they were talking about the credits issue and all that stuff, and these other things that were going on with all that stuff. And she's like, "Yeah, I'm really behind it. I'm sorry." And she's like apologizing to me because I was working with one of my customers. I'm like, no, you're good. No worries." I said, "I'm actually more upset in this particular situation because what I'm telling you now was something I told somebody else previously 8 months ago. So it should have been handled 8 months ago, and it's just now getting fixed. And I have full confidence that you're going to fix it. But it shouldn't have taken us 8 months to get here to this point. And I should have known a hell of a lot sooner than this that it was still an outstanding issue kind of a thing." And then she was still like, "But really, I'm so far behind." And I'm just like, "Yeah." I said, I love the idea, or what I say, "I love that you're behind is..." And I just said just like that, "I love that you're behind," and I was getting ready to roll into is,
"Your behind is better than her behind."
Exactly. And a coworker, she looks at the other coworker that's up there, our really good friend that's been over here before. She kind of shoots me the look like, "Justin, you're putting your foot in your mouth," kind of thing. I go, "I'm sorry, that came wrong. What I meant was that your idea of behind... Anyways, you're doing a great job." And she kind of blushed a little bit. I'm like, "I'm sorry." I just turned around and walked away. I was like, and the poor thing, she does not get my sense of humor yet. And so the other coworker came by later. I'm like, "We've got to, I don't know, maybe take her to lunch or something."
Indoctrinate
like that.
Her in some
but
way.
But just let her understand that how I handle, I'm really trying to be good about, how I word things. But sometimes shit like that happens. No ill will. It was just like, it was your idea of behind is way better than her idea of behind is what I wanted to say, but it came out your behind is way, like you said, it was going to come out your behind is way better than, like, "Oh, that would have been bad."
Which is probably true.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Anyways. So that gave me a good chuckle. And then, so I was talking to the coworker. I'm like, "So, yeah." But then I'm like, how do I approach her about, my sense of humor, how I say things? I'm not going to try to talk with her about this stuff during work hours. So, but then I'm like, "Hey, would you like to go to lunch with me?" That's just going to creep the poor thing out. So there's really no good way to fix it except hopefully through continued immersion
exposure,
as bad as that sounds to me, she'll figure out what I'm about versus what, yeah. It was just one of those excellent foot and mouth situations that I get myself into sometimes where I just, what I mean to say and what actually comes out of the mouth are it's like punctuation and grammar. That comma can make all the difference in the world.
While we were talking about girl daughters and their men that they are potentially going to be bringing home, etc., Tempe's current crush is a very nice man from my work whose name happens to be Justin.
Yes.
And she's in love with him. She doesn't say so.
She is. And she's definitely, yeah.
Well, and she wanted to go to work with me the other day. She goes, will that man be there? The one that played games with me? Because they played My Little Pony together a while back and at that game party and whatnot. But she's just utterly in love with him. And he's still, by to date, the only person I've ever seen her after just two or three meetings. She ran up to him and gave him a big hug the second she saw him at my office a couple months. Weeks back.
Yeah, and that's the part that kind of bothers me to some extent is because he's openly admitted that he's kind of the hit it or quit it kind of guy.
I mean, I don't like to put labels on people, but he's a man whore.
Yeah,
like
definite man whore.
But like acknowledged, you know, I love the ladies kind of guy. And I see what she likes about him. He's, you know, got a charisma, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And that guy's got, yeah.
He's and so,
got
personality and it matches Tempe's charisma. Tempe's got the same kind of thing going on. So I just thought that was funny. Is that guy going to be there?
The one that I really, really like? Yeah. So we have a voicemail from a listener.
Okay.
Figure we'll wrap a few things up and then we'll close out the episode.
Yeah, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, wonk, wonk, wonk.
Yeah.
Oh, where did it go? Oh, shit. It got...
What are you doing?
I am working on trying to get it.
It was up on the other machine.
What?
The voicemail?
Yeah, but that machine won't play. Anyways, long. I gotta get the right, yeah.
Well, I don't know how these things work.
Obviously, neither do I. Because this shit's not working the way it's supposed to. Hey, not that one, not that one, that one. I want to log into that one,
please. Who's it from?
I think it's your brother.
Oh.
Let's find out, though. Let me make sure this kicks on here and turn the knobbies and the dialies, and we'll try playing it here.
Hey, guys. I've just listened to your last episode about dress code. Wanted to throw my two cents in. So I have a story here. I wore a to-the-floor leather trench coat in high school, and I was told that I could not wear it. I was brought into the assistant principal's office, and I explained to her that, you know, I completely understand your position on that this is against the current dress code policy. However, I'm not seeing all the other dress code policies being enforced. So I will continue to wear my trench coat until I see that. And surprisingly enough, she actually agreed. So, you know, good things can happen with the administration. But then also about dress code in general, I think it is a good idea, specifically for, you know, class reasons. I mean, growing up, one of the worst things was not having the coolest clothes, not having, you know, the newest stuff. You know, because growing up relatively poor, you know, that's not something that is going to be spent money on. So having a forced dress code where people have to wear this shirt, these slacks, I think that helps in that aspect, discrimination against one kid to another. So I think that's important. But other than that, yeah, love you guys. Just thought I'd throw my two cents in. Thanks.
So, yes, that was your brother.
You should have played that at the beginning.
I should have. Yeah. Well, I got thrown off by the false start we had.
I know, before we actually had
We had the pre-episode warm-up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the little run-in-place routine you do before you actually do the run. So, I will sort of agree with your brother. The one point where I have to draw a line of delineation is that unless you're specifically saying you need to buy Faded Glory, because I'm going with the cheap ones here.
Yeah.
Faded Glory shirts with Faded Glory slacks, blah, 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 and you're specifying a specific brand, there's still
some
of that brand
lag.
Because there are those, I will only buy my kid Nike, or I will only buy my kid. And so even though they're still getting a blue polo, it's going to have the swoosh, or it's going to have this or that, you know. There's going to be identifying things that are going to still pick it apart from the ghetto ass Walmart / Target brand or whatever. And I've been there growing up when I was in school. I wanted the Reebok pumps, those little shoes where you're pumping your kid. Oh, so fucking bad. And I got some of these weird ass knockoff ones. Like the little pumper broke like the third day. Oh man.
And like everybody knows that they're not like, yeah.
Like when you get the one like the Adidas
with four stripes.
With four stripes instead of three.
I had those.
Yeah, so did I.
I had those.
And I got land blasted it. So, yeah. I mean, I do get it. I get what they're trying to do with it, but I also think that it's simply, you can't stop that. What you need to stop is not so much the brands or this, that. You need to stop. It's, once again, go back to working on your kids. Stop your kids from being shitheads. Well, why is that person wearing the cheaper clothing? Perhaps, like as an adult, I know plenty of people who have bank. My actual, the CEO of my current company is one of them. I happen to know this dude is fucking loaded, okay? Has a, lots of money. Plenty of money. Still rolls around in a 2001, and it's a Cadillac Escalade, but it's one that he bought used in like 05.
Mm-hmm.
The thing's got 260 plus thousand miles on it. It's got its problems. It's kind of starting to kind of come apart at the seams.
It's showing its age.
But you know what? The goddamn thing still gets him from point A to point B. And yeah, until those tires start rolling off as he's rolling down the road, he's going to keep driving it. There's just certain people that are like that. The reason they are loaded is because they are very frugal with their finances. And they're very careful as to why they do what they do or buy what they buy. So in that respect, sometimes you just need to teach the person a little bit of extra judgment. Why, you know, and then in the case of, yeah, well, they just don't have a lot of money. Maybe we should try to see if we could help them. And, you know, which of course enters a whole other embarrassment thing and all that does. But it's just one of those things that teach your kids to be less of an asshole and more of a sympathetic person. And you're going to solve a lot more problems than instituting, well, we all have to wear blue shirts and white khaki pants. So that's just my quick and dirty
wrap up. I think it goes a little bit both ways. I think that having a dress code can certainly cut down on a little bit of that. Because guess what? Nobody looks like the kickin'est kid in the school wearing a polo and slacks. I mean, it's just...
There are some. There are some that can get away with it.
I just think it eliminates at least a little bit. Yes, there's still brand name versus not.
Yeah.
But it's still a blue polo shirt. It's still, you know. So, but I do remember the trench coat thing. At the time, the school was trying and failing miserably to cut down on the spaghetti strap tank tops.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, and I don't want to sound like I'm about to sound, so I apologize. I'm going to just say it. The rich, pretty girls got away with it, mm-hmm. and the fat, ugly girls didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no basis other than that's just what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
That the more affluent, prettier girls didn't get harassed about it. And
sounds an awful lot like our politics. Goddamn white men keeping us down.
And I remember at the time, I remember when he went in, he got basically told he couldn't wear what he wanted to wear because it was against the dress code. And he just said, well, if this is against the dress code and that's against the dress code, as soon as you enforce that part of it, you can enforce it on me. And I remember the principal was like, you are kind of right. Okay, never mind. like I can't fight that logic. Off you go.
Fortunately for you, you had one of the principals that had common sense.
I know.
Because mine didn't. I mean, I pulled that same thing with him. And
put this in perspective, this was in like 2001, maybe 2000, shortly after Columbine. Yeah. And that was a big deal.
Trench coats were a huge issue. That was a
big, big deal.
Because anybody wearing a trench coat at that point was obviously involved with them in some way, shape, or form and wanted to do all the same things they wanted to do.
Yep.
So, yeah. I did actually remember now and found the actual video that I wanted to play at the beginning. And, yes, it will hold true to an auditory format. So,
okay.
We'll play it as a closer, and then we'll shut down and move on for next week. But this is one of those uplifting videos that somebody busts out a cell phone in a classroom when an altercation is getting ready to take place. But it was actually handled, in my opinion, very fucking well. So, here we go.
What's up, man? I'll break you right now, then, bruh. What's up, man, bruh?
Wow.
You boys are pissing me off! Hey, both y'all. Listen, quit selling out of my house. Anthony, shut up and sit down before I make change out of you and you. If you don't take that mess over there right now, not like you're gonna push through me to get to him, you ain't. So take it over there. If you can't squash it like gentlemen and get out of his face, get out of mine, get over there. Take it, Anthony. Yeah, you want to squash the shit with that off campus? Y'all don't do that in here. And whatever made you believe you could, we can squash this right now. Get back up, you got something else to say. Come back this way, you got something else to say. Anybody else? Trust me, we take some grass. Trust me. It's been that kind of Tuesday. You're too young, and life is too short for y'all to be selling out with that kind of nonsense. This ain't no Crip Blood kind of nonsense. It ain't nothing so crucial. If you can't talk it out, then get out. I said, take out some paper. You got a minute.
I really appreciate a teacher that can handle a classroom like that and they can handle their shit, because I had similar experiences in classroom, only my teachers were the type that, like, you know, oh god, what do we do. But my favorite line of that whole video is, if you want to do this, we can. I'll take you to the ground. It's been that kind of Tuesday. And I've been there. Well, boy, have I been there.
And I bet this teacher's seen some shit too.
Like, well, but he also, you can tell from the other kids are reacting in the classroom that he's also one of the respected teachers, because he's willing to be real with the kids like that, but also he's not just doing it to be an overlording, controlling asswipe. So Izzy Rock posted that earlier this week, and it was pretty awesome, so I had to repost it.
I like it. I like the guy's attitude of, this is not going down here.
Yeah.
I don't care. You going to go through me? Yeah. I don't think you are.
Go ahead and try it. But I also like the fact that instead of just squelching the fight, he also explained it. You know, this is, you know, we need to be able to talk. This is what, it was perfect. Like, this is why, more or less, like, why these things in this country are happening, because we don't know how to talk it out like humans. We just act out on our rage and aggression and everything else. So, yeah, I'm happy I remembered that, because I really wanted to play that. I liked it. It really tickled my fancy. So, is there anything else you'd like to add, babe? Oh, wait, sorry. Yes, there is one more thing. Sorry. Housekeeping. Next week, we have a special guest. Fanfare, come on. Slacker Jedi is going to be on with us, and he's known in the community, and he's got kids of his own, and is a fairly recent listener, or recent addition to the listener pool, and has been chatting with me quite a bit about various things, and he's really excited about us and the podcast, he says, and also wants to come and guest on it. So we actually had an opening next week, so we're going to bring him on, and I'm excited for it too, because the dude's funny. Just talking about his girls and their periods and everything else. It's like, my 11-year-old's evil. That's it. There's nothing else I can say about it. She's evil. I think it's going to be a good show. So he will be on next week. Also, give our friends some loves. Loves. That's kids. That's the dad.
Give some lovings. Give him some snuggles and loves.
Yeah. Check out the Coffin Joe cast, No Hope for Humanity, of course, Mediocre Show.
If you don't listen to Mediocre Show, I don't know how you found us, but that's fine.
Geek Show, check out the stuff that Joel does, who's part of the Coffin Joe cast, the Sunshine Happy Pants Hour, and also When It Comes Back, obviously Oblivious. All a bunch of good shows.
14 going on 40.
40 going on 14, 40. Yes. Yeah.
I thought it was 14.
No, it's 40 going on 14. Oh. It's a bunch of adults that are still, like, you know, in their...
I'm awesome.
That's why you can't find the podcast, right? I've been trying to find the goddamn thing.
No, I have it. I just don't pay attention to the title. Like, once I'm done searching for it, it's...
And also, go give the Two Feminist Moms a listen. They're actually... It's a pretty interesting listen so far.
Let me know how it is. I haven't dated to download quite yet.
Yep.
My downloads are really full.
Right now. Well, because you don't have the time that you used to listen through everything. So so now, is there anything else you'd like to add, babe? Did I take that as a no?
No.
Okay.
I guess not.
Well, we want to thank you for listening again. As always, you can find us online. www.badparentingpodcast.com is our website. If you want to contact us via email, you can email grounded@badparentingpodcast.com. Or, of course, our Justin or Jody at badparentingpodcast.com will reach us individually as well. If you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 503-609-0375. Or you can leave a voicemail via Skype, too. Just search for jalbrecht2000. That's the username for the Skype account. And if you look on Instagrams, Facey Spaces, any of the social medias there, if you just search for Bad Parenting Podcast or some variation of that, you will find us. We love to hear and get listener feedback. Thanks, Jake, for leaving the voicemail with the dress code. I really do appreciate the love there. All the people have been chatting with me on Facebook and Instagram and various other mediums. Thank you so much. We love that outreach, which also brings into an important thing. Hey, if you like us, you like your other podcasts you listen to, perhaps, leave us a rating, a review, go out and check us out. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. We really appreciate that. But yeah, so otherwise, if there's nothing else that you have to say,
all right.
Mm-mm. Well then until next time, try not to be shitty parents.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Bad Parenting Podcast, a conversational show about all aspects of parenting, the good, the bad, and the smelly.
Hey, Jody.
Hi, Justin.
Do you like guys with beards?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? What about bald heads?
Most of the time.
What if there are guys with beards and bald heads with just deep rivers of blue eyes that just say I love you?
I tend to marry them.
Now what if they're just a genuinely good dude too?
I just friend them. Befriend them. Not befriend them. Friend them.
Not friend them.
That sounds like a Facebook
thing. What about
thing?
Be friendly with them?
Not too
friendly. Not too friendly? Oh. Well, the Izzy Rock meets those requirements. He's bearded. He's bald. He's got those deep rivers of bluey eyes.
You mean he's got triple B's?
Yes, triple B's. And he's got a couple podcasts that he does.
I knew that.
Yeah, Tales from the Hard Side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On the Block with his bestest friend ever, Scott Epic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also produces the Gem City Podcast, which is a local like artsy-fartsy type podcast in the Dayton, Ohio area. So,
well, who knew?
I know. I basically what I'm trying to say here is he's a good guy. You should go listen to him. Give him a shout out. And if you like his stuff, you know what? Subscribe to him on iTunes. Also, you can leave him a comment. Rate, review, and subscribe, people. We'd appreciate it.
And so would he.
Yes, he would. Oh, he's a dad, too. So the Bad Parenting Podcast loves the fact that he's a dad. So that helps out. Dads are great. Two cool sons. See, good dude. Raising good kids. We need more people like him.
I agree.
So yes. Listen to Izzy's shit. It's awesome.
Agree again.
All right. Well, until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
It's all done now. Here it goes.